back up. I hope everybody's hearing. And so we're gonna get it going again here today. Well, let's go back. We talk about the resurrected life as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection this week. And as I was sharing with him earlier about we oftentimes focus on Jesus's resurrection. Make sure I'm still working. And we focus on Jesus's resurrection. But you know, when we come to Christ, when we come to Christ, it's our resurrection as well. And so let's go back into this Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, well, I gave you a lot. Let's see. He says, if. So back to the word if. I start off with the word if. And it says here, if. And so in other words, it's a, like a gate. It's like a gate that can swing either way. He says, if you name the name of Christ, if you claim to be saved, if you claim to be born again. Again, he says, be risen with Christ. Seek those things which are above, which Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And so he says, seek the things of God. Let our affections and our desires be towards Christ. You want to please him. You want to serve him. You want to live for him. You want to love upon him. And then he goes on and says, set your affections on things that are above. Number two, set your affections on things that are above. And he says, not on the things of the earth. And so your affections, your desires, your all in all to yearn to see Jesus, to yearn to see the Lord, to yearn to see again and spend eternity with Jesus. I was sharing with him about, I was talking with his Sister Erin on Sunday. He was talking about her husband. Again, it'd be 3 years coming up since he's passed. And so we were sharing about how I said, you'll see him again. You'll see him again. And then sooner rather than later. Sooner rather than later. And so he says, set your affections on things above. Again, your affection, your desires to say, you know, I've got to make it to heaven. I've got to go there. I've got to get to that city, that great, great city of God. And so not the things of earth, the things of earth are temporary. The things of earth are carnal. The things of earth will fade away. But only what's done for Christ will last, is what we were sharing earlier. I guess y'all didn't hear none of that. But anyway, verse 3, he says, ye are dead. You're dead. You're dead in Christ. You're dead. In other words, again, the old you, the old me died. When we say, I want to be saved, when you ask Jesus for forgiveness and he came into your life and you made a commitment to Christ, the old us died. The old drunkard, the old liar, the old cheater, the old gambler, on and on. He died. She died. And the Bible says you're dead. Your life is now hidden in Christ. You're now surrounded and your life is lost in Christ. In other words, it's hid with Christ. You're wrapped up in Jesus. You're covered by him. And so now your daily life activities, your thought patterns, your ways of life should reflect a desire to want to do something for God. Want to serve God. Want to be in church. Want to praise God. Want to worship God. You want to give to God. You want to do various things. Go out and be a witness for others. No doubt, you want to do the things of Christ, what Christians do. And so back to what we say, if you be risen. So many will celebrate the resurrection this weekend. We all celebrate the resurrection. Yes, Easter, whatever. But you know what? But it has to be a resurrected life. That's what Titus Bible study is about, a resurrected life. A resurrected life. Let's move on. Verse 4, it says, Christ, who is our life, he is our life. That's who we live for. That's who we serve. That's who we walk for. It says he is our life and he shall appear. Then shall ye appear also with him. Jesus is coming again. And he said he is coming again in all of his glory. And we will see him up in the clouds and the rapture of the church will take place. And again, you think about it, we see the clouds, we see the stars up in heaven, but it's nothing like that day when he will appear. And so we should set our affections on those things. Nothing on this earth really can compare. You can travel the seven seas and nothing that will compare to what is up in glory. And so he says, mortify. The word mortify is kill, or to die, be dead, and no, or to kill something. So he says, mortify, kill these things. Kill these members that are up on the earth. Talking about within yourself. What's within ourselves, the old you and I? Fornication, when we have sex outside of wedlock, that's now dead. Why? Because I'm not married. So now I'll wait until I get married, right? Or you can go with adultery by uncleanness and inordinate affections, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. He covered all a bunch of sins here, but there's other sins as well. And he says we should be dead to these things. We have to kill these things. And so when we give our lives to Christ, these things are now buried. You're now dead to these things, dead to temptation. We have to be dead to, don't yield to it, but we must be dead to these things. Don't let the things of the flesh, the things of this world, pornography, on and on and on, the things in this world that are constantly pulling at your flesh, the drunkenness and all these other things, the party life, on and on and on. He says you should be dead to if you're risen with Christ. We're talking about a resurrected life tonight. Bible study is about a resurrected life. So you claiming to know Christ, you must live a resurrected life. You must be dead to these things. He went on a little further. He says, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience. The wrath of God comes on those that are not dead to sin, but are living in sin. The children of disobedience. Jesus saying, die to these things. Get rid of this stuff out of your life. And if we don't, we are disobedient to God. Jesus says, repent, turn to me. Give me, I have a better way for you. I have a better life. I have a clean life for you. I want you to live. But if we disobey, we are considered the children of disobedience, and the wrath of God is destined for those that refuse. Number seven says, he says, in which you walked sometimes. We all walk this way. I was not always a preacher. I was not always a Christian. As I shared with you before, some of these very things listed prior to this, I committed. And you know what? He says, I walked this way. And we, before we come to Christ, we were living in sin. He says, when you have lived in them, he says, but now, number eight, you put off these things. You put it off. What? Anger. He says, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. So these are some of the things that are not part of those that have been risen. He said, if you be risen, if you be risen, you won't do certain things. There's certain things Christians just don't do. And those are some telltale signs, really, to know who's really, really been born again. Some are religious. We'll see. There's a difference between religion and a reality. There's a difference. You can put on a religion, put a cross around your neck, on and on and on. Again, you can die and lose your soul from a church pew if you have not been transformed. I could preach on and on and on, and preachers die and lose their soul too. And so we must be born again. So he says, put away anger. Angry. Well, I get angry sometimes. Yeah, but suppress that thing. Hey, man, walking around, we live in an angry society. People are mad. Wake up mad, go to bed mad, live throughout the day upset. He said, put that away. He says, wrath, which will turn, anger turns into wrath, to where you want to physically do something, or where you begin to want to be destructive, malice as well. Malice, which is just ill will towards people, blasphemies, again, speaking against God, filthy communication, which is cursing and carrying on. The Bible says these things come out of the mouth. Out of the mouth come because what's in the heart. Things that come out of the mouth is because what's down in the heart. The heart has not been cleansed. And so we look at this tonight. The Bible tells us, he says, put these things away. Number 10, he says, and put on the new man. You put on the new man. So verse 10, I'm sorry, verse 9, lie not one to another, see that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, with his deeds. And so you put off, he said, lie not one to another, same thing for the communication, seeing that you put off the old man and his deeds. So there it is again. The old man is dead. The old man is dead. The old woman is dead. The old young lady, young man, whoever you may be, is dead. He's gone. He's in the grave. He's been buried. So we're talking about the resurrection. We always talk about Jesus' resurrection, but you and I should have a resurrection as well. So we die. We die to sin. The Bible says here in verse 10, he says, I've put on a new man. So the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after that, the image of him that created him. So we renew and begin to think and live our lives by the one who did it, Jesus. We begin to read our Bibles. We begin to pray. We begin to do the things that a Christian should do. And so, Bob, because we begin to want to know more about him and learn more of him and be more like him. Paul said, I want to know him and the fellowship of his suffering. I want to know the power of his resurrection. I want to know him. And so what it says here, I put on a new man, which is renewed in knowledge. My eyes have been opened. Now I see. Man, I was on the road to destruction. Paul was on the road to destruction himself, but now he sees now. And that's really a common thread throughout Christianity, for a believer, is to have that common thread of what? Again, I was lost, but now I'm found. I was this way, but I changed. Right? Again, well, sometimes I thought you was a Christian. What you doing at the bar? Drinking, carrying on at the party. Hey, I thought when you in church, you just get baptized. Yeah. There should be a change. There should be a change. And you grow, we people grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Because if the church don't teach this, you ain't gonna never know no way. But again, at the same time, there is a spirit of the Holy Ghost will convict you to where you say, you know what, that's not right. And it'll begin to direct you to a place. Hey, you know, I don't sound right. And the Bible says this. You begin to realize, hey, maybe I need to find a church that teaches and preaches righteousness. And so, church today, we look at this, which is renewed in knowledge and image of him that created. We want to be shaping like Christ, to become more like him. Not more like the world, but to be more like him. The Bible says in verse 11, he says, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian or Scythian, bond nor free. He says, but Christ is all in all. He says, my Christ is my all in all. He's my everything. Number 12, he says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy, beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness, a mind, meekness, and long suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. And if any man have a quarrel against any, he says, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And so these are some of the characteristics of being risen with Christ. If you be risen with Christ, we start doing these things. If we be risen with Christ, we will again be holy in verse 12. In verse 12, again, back it up. We will be holy. If we risen with Christ, we'll be holy. Verse 12. He says, on the bowels of mercy, we will show mercy, and we'll show kindness and humbleness of mind. We'll show meekness if we are risen with Christ. If we're risen with Christ, we should be long suffering. We'll suffer long and suffer long for others as well. Number 13 says, forbearing one another. If we're risen with Christ, we'll forbear one another. And not only that, we'll forgive one another. If any man have a quarrel. So again, we're willing to work things out with our brothers, our sisters, with our enemies, our neighbors, whoever it may be. So God help us. Help us, no doubt, to do this. Because this is what Christ would do. The Bible says in verse 14, above all things, put on charity. If we're risen with Christ, let us put on charity, which is love. The Bible says, which is the bond of perfectness. That's where really you love Christ. And that's what really, really helps us and shapens us. Because we don't want to displease our Heavenly Father. We don't want to displease Jesus. We don't want to grieve the Holy Ghost. And so when we love God, when we love, fall in love with Jesus Christ, when we fall in love and our affections, back to how we open this up, our affections are above, naturally it will drive us to want to begin to, God shaping me, perfect me, mold me, make me into the image you want me to be. Let's move on. The Bible says in verse 15, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. If we're risen with Christ, there's a sense of peace that should rule in your heart. Where you won't be afraid, where you won't doubt. He says, be not afraid. What? He says, oh, you have unbelievers. So we should have a peace in our heart because we're risen with Christ. Amen. Christ is in control. God is in control. And so we have this peace that rules in our hearts, to which you're called in one body and to be thankful. Let the word of the Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So again, just flooding yourself. If you're risen with Christ, flood yourself with things that will be a blessing to the soul. He says, Psalms, read the book of Psalms, read scriptures, read the word of God. Fill your heart and your mind with that. Flood it with these things. He says, spiritual songs are key. Songs that will make you think about Jesus and not about the club. Things that will make you think about Jesus and not going in and chasing the women. Thinking about songs about Jesus instead of going out, you know, doing whatever that is a contrary to the word of God. Spiritual songs, singing in your hearts unto the Lord, in your hearts to the Lord. He says, number 17, whatsoever you do in word or deed, he says, and all do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And so if we be risen with Christ, our deeds, God help us with our deeds, help us with our actions, help us with our ways. We're talking about the resurrected life tonight. So naturally, again, if you just join us, again, we celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ this weekend, but we should also have a resurrection as well. It's not a religious thing that we're doing this weekend. It's a celebration of what Christ has done in your life as well. And so I want to reread that verse again, verse 1. Go back to verse 1 real quick, because I want to make sure we have it at home. There's a, I guess, a conjunction word. I guess you would call it if you say this, if you be risen with Christ, the things we just read off, the things we just went over, he says, seek those things which are above. He says, where Christ sits on the right of God. Number 2 again, he says, set your affections on things above and not on the earth. If, no doubt it's real to you, serve Christ, live for Christ. I'm going to give you a few more here. Let's go to Romans 6, Romans 6, 1. Romans 6, 1. I'm going to give you some more about the resurrected life, the resurrected life. He says, what shall we say then? Concerning, he was dealing with sin because they were just trying to justify sin in their lives. They were justifying sin. The Bible says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Because they were saying, are we saved by grace? Oh, no, yes, we are. Thank God for God's grace. But that should not be a reason to continue. Oh, God's going to forgive me, so I'm going to go sin. That's what he's trying to show here. Oh, God's going to forgive me. I'm about to go sin tonight, preacher. And God's going to forgive me afterwards. That's not how we should play games with God. He says, God forbid. He says, number two, he says, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? And so we're talking about the death, burial, and resurrection. Death, burial, and resurrection of our lives. Not just Jesus. He did it. But you know what? We should have that same back to what it said. Take up your cross and follow him. We should be dead. So we're dead to sin. I asked Jesus to forgive me of my sins, so I'm now dead to those things. My past, my failures, I'm dead to it. And so he says what? How should we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? No, you don't. You shouldn't want to even do that. Your desires change. Back to what we said, set your affections on things above. My desires are changed now. I have a resurrected mind. Have a resurrected heart. Have a new garments of praise. The garments of sin are taken away. And now I want to praise God. Number 3 says, know ye not that so many of us are baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized unto his death. So when we do water baptism, and even really the baptism in Christ, when he first acknowledged Jesus Christ and profess him as Lord and Savior, that's really the first baptism, is the baptism in his blood. And so again, we focus even on the water baptism, which many of you need to be water baptized. When you go down into the water, you're saying you're dead. So I went down, I'm dead. And now I'm getting up, washed in the blood. I'm a new man. And so he says, we were baptized unto his death. So I went down in that water, just like Jesus went down to the grave. And so the Bible says, you like his death, that the Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father. Even so, we should walk in newness of life. I skip number 4 again. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism and unto his death. Let's read it again. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. So when you get up from that altar, get up from that prayer, and you step to Jesus Christ, you have a new life, a new beginning. Continue to pray for our sister. Just pray this weekend for salvation. Continue to pray. If you're watching tonight, my sister, amen. We continue to shout with you. There's a new life, a new beginning. Number five, he says, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, if we associate and die to ourselves. See, when we die to self, the old man goes. But let me hold on to this. This is my favorite sin over here. Nah, I let everything go. It's got to go. It's got to go. It's got to go because it was destroying me. The Bible says we are planted together with him in the likeness of a death. We shall also in the likeness of resurrection. So I'm going to get up with power, strength, and ability to live for Christ. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified. Number six, knowing this, that the old man is crucified, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. We're talking about the resurrected life tonight. You got verse six, you pulled up, you got verse six, right? So we should not serve sin. We should not serve sin. Because why? We've been resurrected. We've been resurrected. He says the old man has been crucified. Back to what we said, the old man is dead. Oh, my, remember we used to, yeah, he's dead now. Oh man, back in the day, he's dead. She's dead. And that should be your attitude. That's what the word of God said. If, back to the opening statement, if ye be risen with Christ, right? If you're not religious, I'm not talking about religion. I'm not talking about knowing about the Bible. I'm not talking about putting on your Sunday best and really not really living a life. I'm talking about if you be risen with Christ. The Bible says again, he says the body of sin might be destroyed, that you should henceforth not serve sin. Your desires say, you know what? You should be mad at the devil. You should be angry with Satan because of what he tried to do to you and I. Satan came to steal, kill, and destroy. He stopped you from your blessing. Sin stops us from our blessing. Sin will lead to destruction. But Jesus said, well, I've come to give you life, and then more abundantly. So now, why would I want to serve the one that's trying to destroy me? I want to serve the one that's giving me abundance of life. Let's move on. Verse 7. He says, for he that is dead is freed from sin. I'm released from that addiction. I'm released from those fleshly desires. I'm released from it. I'm dead to it. Jesus forgave me. I'm a new man. And I have a new vision of what that was. That was a trap for me to lose my soul. You got to see sin for what it is. Sin is set as a trap to call us to lose our soul. And that's why we should despise. The Bible said there was men in the Bible who eschewed evil. They despised sin. Why? Because it was they knew it was going to destroy them. It was going to mess up their family life. It was going to mess up their blessing. And many of those men who eschewed evil, or those women who eschewed evil, they were blessed. Blessed, blessed, blessed beyond measure. Not even talking about material either. They were just blessed people. And it's really a blessing to be freed from the clutches of sin. The Bible says in number 9, if we be dead with Christ, number 8, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. And so, yes, the old man, many times the devil say, don't change, don't change. You don't realize he's trying to keep you from living with Christ. He doesn't want to see you go eternally with Christ. And even here on this earth, he wants to see you, again, not experience the fullness of Christ. And so he says here, we're being raised from the dead. Again, we have a relationship that is gained with Jesus Christ. Number 9, he goes on and says, for knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For Number 10, for in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Number 11, he says, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. He says, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we're dead. We're dead to that. Temptation, I'm dead to that. Lust, I'm dead to it. Alcohol, I'm dead to it. Drugs, I'm dead to it. You know, whatever case might be. We continue to grow in God in that. And again, some things take place immediately. And some things you grow in God. And you learn of God's word. A lot of times people don't know God's word. So they don't know, again, some things that God is not pleased with. But again, but we're dead to it now. You begin to say, you know what? I'm dead to that. I'm dead to that lifestyle. I'm dead to some of the people that's trying to pull me into a certain lifestyle. I'm dead to these things. And so now I'm going to that church over there. I'm going to worship God. I'm going and living a new life. I'm start reading my Bible. Start being faithful to God because I'm dead to the devil. I'm dead to you, devil. Don't even talk to me. That's what you got to say. You got to say, I'm dead to it. Devil, you're dead to me. Make no place for the devil, as the Bible says. Give no place to the devil. All right, let's go to one more verse here. One more section of the scriptures. Colossians 2:10. Forgive us again. We didn't have any sound in the beginning. We're talking about a resurrected life. We always focus on Jesus' resurrection, but let us focus on our resurrected lives as well. And so let's look at this. Verse 10, he says, and ye are complete in him. Jesus gives us everything we need. I got up in heaven. The Holy Spirit as well. Desire the Holy Spirit. Jesus had the Holy Ghost. We need the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost came upon him as a dove. The scripture tells us. And so we should also say, Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit. So we're complete in him. Everything you need is found in God. The Bible says, which is the head of all principalities and powers. He's all powerful. He's all knowing. He's mighty. So naturally, you grow up, you raise up out of sinful state into the newness of Christianity, and you begin to have power as well. You have the same resurrected power. Power. The scripture verse of the day today was about power to tread upon serpents, power to lay hands on the sick, power to pray and move mountains. And so number 11, he says, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Circumcision, a practice for males, a practice that males partake in. It was initially done by the Jews, originally done by them. It was a way of them separating themselves from the rest of the world. Circumcision. God instituted it as what it is. And so naturally, most male children are circumcised today from all Jew and Gentile. But you think about it, he was talking about, and so that was a way of them being separated from the other nations. The Israelites were separated through circumcision. That was one of the signs of them being separated. They did the practice of circumcision. But he's talking about here, Jesus does a different type of circumcision. The circumcision of the flesh, male flesh, is to remove the foreskin and to remove the excess skin, is what they say for sanitary purposes. Oh, no. But Jesus does a real cleansing, a real removing of the excess of sin. Things that we don't need, things that we don't have to have. The circumcision of the blood of Jesus Christ, by the hands of God, not made by the hands of men. Like it says, not religion. But Jesus did something in your life. It's a touch, a circumcision by Christ, male and female, circumcision of the heart, to cut away the excess of sin out of our lives. Let's move on. Number 12, he says, bury with him in baptism. So there it is again. In baptism, wherein ye also are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. There's an operation that takes place. It's a divine born again experience that takes place. He says, and ye being dead, number 13, ye being dead in your sins. So he pointed back to this. If we're not saved, we're dead. We're dead. We're walking dead men, meaning zombies, basically. Walking zombies, believe it or not, because of sin. He says, you being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him. He quickened us together. So he makes us alive. Through the born again experience, we become alive. Alive, new life. Dead. I was once dead, but now I'm found and I'm raised up with Christ. Now I have life in me. I have a reason to live. I have a reason. I have excitement for Christ. Why? Because of what Jesus did in my soul. The Bible says here, he says, and hath quickened, he hath quickened together with him, having forgiven you all of our trespasses. He says he's forgiven you all of our trespasses, everything we've ever done. And so that's a reason they rejoice as well, because you know you have been forgiven. The things we used to do, no doubt, again, we all have shame and we all are shamed up. And so now to think about it, for when the judge, the ultimate judge says you're forgiven, man, that's a reason to rejoice. You're a new man. You're a free man. You're a free woman. Praise the Lord. I've been released from the bondage that was once bound by. Number 14, blotting out the handwritten ordinances that was against us. Verse 14. He says, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. It's really showing us what Jesus had done. It points back to Christ and the cross of Calvary. Number 15, having spoiled the principalities, the authorities of the devil and the powers, he had made a show of them openly, triumphant over them. Sin cannot hold Jesus down. Sin cannot keep him in the grave. Sin cannot do it. And he got up on that third day, as we'll celebrate this weekend, triumphing over them. And my friend today, brothers and sisters today, we're showing a parallel of how we as well should live a resurrected life. A resurrected life to where you can now be risen and you can now triumph over sin. Triumph. It does not have to have dominion over you. It doesn't have to have authority over you, because Jesus and the power of the blood, the power of the Holy Ghost is greater. It is greater than anything. And so if you be risen with Christ, if you be risen with Christ, triumph. If you be risen with Christ, you can have victory. You can live a life victoriously for Jesus Christ. Let me give you one more. I'll pull this up here. I believe it's in Romans as well. Yeah, Romans 6:14. If you continue to read 6:14, I give you that one. Pull up verse 14. We're going to close with this as we finish. 13 and 14, really. Oh my God. 6:14 as we close. We're going to let you guys go. He says, Romans 6:14. We're talking about a resurrected life. And so you today say, you know, I've been born again. I'm not going to bow myself back down to the weak and beggarly elements of this world. Romans 6:14. The Bible says, for sin shall not have what? Dominion. We just covered about how the power of the principalities and various things. He says here that sin shall not have dominion over you. This is for 14:5. He says, for sin shall not have dominion over you. He says, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Sin shall not have it. It's by the grace of God, it gives you power and the ability to say no. Amen. We can say no to the things of this world, the things of sin. So we're risen with Christ. You now have authority to rebuke the devil when he comes around with his bag of tricks. Jesus shows us we have the power and the ability to reject sin. The resurrected life. Resurrected life. Say, you know what? I have power now. I have power to live a life for Christ. And so we're now on that, but back to our main text, was seek ye first. Seek the things that are above. Seek the things that are above and out of the earth. The things of the earth is where sin dwells and reigns and rules. But you know what? Seek the things of God to be pleasing unto God, and he will truly bless you. We look forward to what God's going to do. So endeavor every day. Endeavor to continue to grow in God and say, you know, God, help me live that resurrected life. The resurrected life for Jesus Christ, our Lord. Again, because it's so important, it's so important. Again, your soul, and you can't have victory. Make the devil mad. Say, I'm gonna let the power of the Holy Ghost be encouraged to get filled. Come seeking the Holy Spirit. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Amen. To help you to live again a life. And it gives you the ability to live the life above sin. Amen. All right. We'll stop there. All right. God bless you. I pray. We will see you this Thursday night in person. In person. 334 Azra Street. Come. It's a special night. Come for this special night. Again, we'll be in the midst of Passover. I reflect back on what Jesus has done for us. Amen. And just come worshiping God. Amen. And come experiencing the power of God. Come experiencing this week. Amen. And continue to say, you know what? I'm a new man. I've been resurrected. The old man is gone. The old woman is gone. My sins are gone. I've been resurrected with Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you. I pray we'll see you soon.